This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. What a damn weekend for D.C., huh?
Hell yeah.
Tom Wilson laid out some Canadiens. Five new players on the Washington Commanders.
Did the whole thing change after Tom hit that dude?
Oh, and by the way, they're going back to RFK.
What?
There's a press conference scheduled about an hour from now at the National Press Club. Mayor Bowser is going to be on hand. Commanders majority owner Josh Harris is going to be on hand. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is in town.
Mm-hmm.
They're not messing around.
Roger had a lot to do with it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Goodell, I asked him on the record repeatedly about wanting to get back to RFK, and he
campaigned.
Yeah, dude.
He went and
publicly
shook hands.
And privately.
And let's be real. I know people like to talk. I keep telling you, sports makes money, and people in politics love money. And when Roger started talking, and you start looking at I don't care what side of the aisle they're on, people in the NFL, and they donate money to both sides. You can get stuff done when you got that type of clout.
Yeah, dude. I think it is remarkable that we have so much to discuss, but lest we be confused, the Nats had a hell of a comeback win yesterday. It was awesome. They were down 7-1. I love watching the Mets fall apart. Like, there's so many things to enjoy about that. That's one game of 162. The Caps win, far more important, a playoff win. They were trailing. They came back, won convincingly. Won me a little cash on the -1.5 puck line, by the way. They didn't even win the series. It's 3-1. They got a chance to win the series Wednesday night.
Yeah.
The draft was great. You and I were out in Ashburn all weekend. We were in National Harbor for the draft party.
Yeah.
All of that was great. Stadium news. Getting the stadium
bigger
back,
than all that.
It's bigger than all of it combined.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
This is where they're going to play the games for the foreseeable future. Like they. Yeah. This is, last week Mark Seagrass had the report, they're really close, there's documentation. You and I both know they wanted to talk about this last week, they couldn't
Thursday,
because
Friday.
Of the draft.
Yeah.
Right. This is generationally important. This is where you're going to take your grandkids, and I'm going to take my children to football games and concerts, and the Final Four, who knows what all they'll get, but they're going to get it, and... I want to be abundantly clear, and I'm curious if you agree with me. Because so many people are like, is it actually going to happen? Is it actually going to happen? I don't know. I can't guarantee anything.
I'll lean towards yes, though.
Me too. There are inevitably politicians that are going to politic.
Yeah.
Period. That will always happen.
Let me ask you one question. Okay, as much as we hear about all the bad things that are happening now and what not happening and we can't do this. If you bring a stadium, what does it do to the economy? It gives it more opportunities to make money, right? You also give people jobs when it comes to construction and all that. So all the things that they're complaining about, if you are now having money taken away, you damn sure don't want to be saying no to somebody that could probably help generate some more income here.
Yeah, I mean, Mayor Bowser yesterday tweeted out that they're building a sports economy. The mayor's been clear that D.C.'s been hit with a lot of stuff, right? The federal government's laying people off. That in turn, that means contractors, all that stuff. But people come to stadiums wherever you build them. And if you build it
downtown.
And not
only just for the football game.
Right.
They come for concerts.
Well, I've also talked with some smart folks that know some stuff involved here, and the way they built Nats Park was they put a tax together. I believe it's on the five biggest companies in Washington. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't impact individual taxpayers, right? And then of those companies, they pay a small fee. You're talking like Pepco and probably Washington Gas and like, I don't, like massive companies. Well, Nats Park's about to be paid off. They're going to pay it off ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
So that money that was earmarked to pay back the Nats Park loans just goes, yeah. You know what I mean?
Like it moves
you just
on.
Keep that going.
Yeah.
And I just think the folks involved with the finances, I've read this really fascinating thing. Are you familiar with like the, I guess this is a psychological evaluation, but there's this theory that there's two types of mindsets in the world, mm-hmm. a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset.
Well, I never read it, but you know what? I kind of imagine that that's how things are. Some people, no matter what you say, what they get, what you put in front of them, they're going to think the way that they think. Other people understand some things changes.
So a growth mindset is how much you believe your basic qualities like intelligence and talent can be changed or developed. A fixed mindset is how much you believe your basic qualities are fixed or permanent. A fixed mindset avoids challenges and sees failure as a reflection of inherent limitations. Growth mindset embraces challenges and sees failures as opportunities for learning.
Yeah.
To me, this ain't all that difficult.
True.
Walk around where our office is. Walk around Nats Park.
Yeah.
Walk around. You got to go back 25 years now, but like, walk around what Chinatown was and what it is now.
Yeah.
It's not. So when you talk about RFK, what's even different about this site? It wasn't a lot, and there are politicians that will make you believe it was significant because it works to their advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some people displaced by Nats Park, yeah. Right? And then once you build all this up, you know, prices go higher. They do have affordable housing everywhere, but the one person brought up the lack of middle housing. So there's affordable if you qualify under a certain dollar amount, and then everything else is expensive. Some of this is just market economics, right? Like the yeah. market will bear what it can. Capital One Arena, hell, whenever that was built, mid-90s, 30 year, you know, almost 30 years ago, I'm sure there were some people displaced, and then there was more housing created. At RFK, there's already a stadium, and then just a ton of vacant
it's
land.
A stadium, vacant land.
You're not displacing anyone that is already there.
And the fields they're going to keep. You know, they still, like, they wanted
the
to do stuff.
The fields are a huge part of the development because you could have all these activities.
And you could have a lot of activities if they build, like, a sports complex they want to build for over with the body fields. I think ultimately with that, now you can have, there could be something at the stadium. It could be something at the other little complex. You know, it's all of it is about sparking the economy, generating income for the area. I go out there and I do stuff with Events DC for the day of play where they, it's a free thing they do for all the kids and stuff when sure. they're out for what's going on. I also did a 7-on-7 deal over there. Over 4,000 people showed up to it. That's 4,000 people eating and staying in D.C. Everything is about sparking the economy. And for those people who try to argue, their arguments, some of them are valid. But they never, ever tell you what it can also do. And stadiums today are not what stadiums were in the past. Stadiums today come with a whole, like a little community around it, you know, like a town center per se.
Sure.
I know out there where I live in Virginia, you got South Riding, North Riding, you got the little area right there, One Loudoun, all these different town centers pop up, and you know what people do? They spin what's close, spin where the things are closer to them.
I think anybody, if you are a naysayer about the stadium coming back to Washington, mm-hmm. if you are a critic of it, I think there are some legitimate arguments. I don't agree with you, but I can understand and process some of that. But if one of your arguments is, oh, we're going to build a stadium because it's used 10 times a year, you're incorrect.
They use way more than
you're
10
incorrect.
Times a year. Yeah.
Now, my guess would be legit major events that are going to draw. Let's set an arbitrary number between you and I. They build this thing, they probably build it 60,000-ish. Mm-hmm. So legitimate events that are going to draw 30,000, 25,000, where it's half full, yeah. Right? I bet there's...
Monster truck.
Bro, I bet there's...
Wrestling.
20, 30, 40 of those a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Dog shows.
We're thinking big stuff, right? But like, what about the Sweet 16? Or, you know what I mean? Like, what about... The Frozen Four. What about the women's basketball, women's World
Cup?
Let's
just go big. How about Olympics? How about World Cup?
Right.
How about Super Bowl? Think about those things. Those things now you have a possibility of getting them here in the nation's capital. And I'll be honest with you now. You know, people could sit up there and say what you want. That's a lot of folks in your area. It generates and. I also know this, Jay. There are a lot of people who like to sit on the side and say what's not going to work. Political people. You know what they're trying to make sure they can get? Piece of the pie.
Sure.
It's never about, like, when they are so much against something, you know, taxpayer dollars. Taxpayer dollars, mate, it's going to be some. It ain't going to be close.
You know what will happen? I firmly believe this. You want to talk about economic events, economic drivers. You and I don't always reveal all the things we know on the air, right?
Yeah.
There's been talk of getting the NFL draft to Washington for a few years now.
I think it may be here within the next 2 to 3.
Well, I think look at the success in Green Bay this past weekend, Detroit mm-hmm. the year prior. It's going to Pittsburgh next year. Whatever we think of the vistas of the National Mall packed with people as Roger Goodell's announcing people's names, I mean, it'd be incredible, right?
Yep.
But that is a huge economic boom.
Yes.
Huge economic boom. So whatever has to happen here when Roger Goodell stands at that podium with Bowser, and it's my understanding, and fellas, I mean this seriously. Let's send an email. I would love to talk to Phil Mendelson. Phil Mendelson is a city councilman.
That, I saw him at that he's firing EMS deal not long ago.
Okay, cool. Let me get it right. He's the chairman of the D.C. Council. He's an at-large council member. And he is by far the staunchest, I would say, opposed to money for a stadium. And, okay, Chairman Mendelson, I'd love to discuss that with you. You have an open invitation to the radio program to speak with Brian and I. I take great issue with the notion that the city can't put up some cash because they were just given, whether we can argue about who should be in charge of it, but the structure of who was in charge of it was that the feds owned that land.
Mm-hmm.
And at the last minute, at the last hour, on the last day of 2024, the Senate gave it back to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge gift,
yeah.
Right? No matter what they do.
They got to build infrastructure.
They got to build stuff. And drive around over there. Mm-hmm. The stadium's dilapidated.
Mm-hmm.
Those parking lots have cracks in them. Like, you're going to have to spend a bunch of money regardless.
Yeah, totally.
So don't act like it's all going to a stadium. You're going to spend money regardless.
Well, when you start listening to the numbers, you find out that the city is not giving as much as most places have gotten close. It's not even close to what other people have given. And you have to build the infrastructure. That is what the cities do, okay? You have to build that. But don't act like, oh, they're giving it all. They're not giving it all. You got to spend that money. And if you're going to put anything over there, you have to upgrade everything around it. You have to. Or you're going to have problems. Or you'll be fixing some stuff real soon, which normally if you build stuff new, it normally is cheaper than when you have something that's old and you have to redo it. You know, you got to pay a little bit more money. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, go on and get it now.
I think it's just there's already a stadium there. This isn't tearing down other neighborhoods to put a stadium there. It's already there. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I think it's about a growth mindset versus fixed mindset to me. If you think nothing is ever possible or going to work, then you're probably not into it. But I think, dude, if you get this done, I just saw this from Hogs Haven. BetVA.com has released odds for the 2027 NFL draft. Denver is the leader, then D.C. If it's not 27, it'll be 28. The NFL is sitting there with this. Yo, White Brian, look up economic impact of an NFL draft, whether it's Detroit or maybe you can get Green Bay from last year.
Think about what a draft is. People from all over the country, all over the world, show up in your city and spend money.
They stay at hotels. They go to restaurants. They get Ubers.
You really have to build much for them to come. They're coming. Just some people don't even go to the draft, to the actual draft. They just sit at the bar in your town buying drinks and food, staying in your hotels, which you're going up the price anyway because that's what you do when you got big events. So they come in and they leave money in your area.
Yo, and that is not just the hotel owner. It's the bellhop that carries your bags up.
Yeah.
That makes a 20 right there.
Yeah.
It's the bartender. It's, you know, like.
Everything.
This type of impact.
The parking garages.
Right. Yo, say some of this. You got a number for me, B-Hawk?
Yeah, according to Google, the 2024 NFL draft in Detroit generated $213.6 million. Of that, $161 million came from non-local visitors who spent money in Detroit.
Bang. Mm. And you know what? Sorry, Detroit. A whole lot more people are going to come here than they went to Detroit.
Exactly.
Like, this will be a destination. It is significant what all is going to happen. And I think it's a huge opportunity that, if done correctly, dude, think about it like this. For over 20 years, the arrogance and audacity of the Snyder administration tried to get this done and were completely inept.
Yeah.
Completely inept. Not to mention, eventually it got so toxic, there was just no chance any politician, despite their ability to.
I don't think he had the money to do what this group is going to do.
Oh.
Not all that close.
Or the juice.
He was going to have to need them to pay 75% of the thing. They don't need it.
Dude, I think when the numbers come out about how much money they're putting up, the Harris Group, versus how much other facilities put up, mm-hmm. it's going to be staggering. The amount of public money versus private investment. I don't know, Brian, but I would guess. I got some guesses till 11 a.m. I would guess this will be if not the most significant private investments in the city in its history. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about the juice to get stuff done around here, Josh Harris grew up here, made his money on Wall Street, lives most of the time in Florida. You know who lives right here?
Mitch.
Rails.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where
Rails
owns a company called Danaher Corporation.
Isn't it the most traded company ever in the history of the stock market?
Do you know what their revenues were the last year it was recorded in 2023?
I know it starts with a B.
$24 billion.
Billion.
And do you know where they're headquartered?
Where?
Right here in Washington, D.C.
Oh, really?
I don't know much, but if I had to guess, they probably employ a lot of folks here and around the world. Like, these are people that make a difference here. And this is, you want to talk about like economic impact to a city and job creation and all of these things, man. Like, this is it. And I just, it's such a difference.
Compared to what was.
Yeah, dude.
Mm.
Their corporate headquarters is on Pennsylvania Avenue.
All right.
So like, those are people that can get phone calls returned. This is just, you know, last
just
week.
Just think about it. We got this far in like about a year or so, maybe less. And the other guy took 20-something years and couldn't even much get a meeting. Damn sure wouldn't get no press conference.
Yo, Bruce Allen used to just walk around and think people would come to him. Like, it's just, it's remarkable, dude. And I hope people don't get too caught up in logos and names. These dudes aren't going back to the logo. They're not going back to the name. They've made it abundantly clear 100 times. I think we'd all be better off if we can just move past that. Like, I think we can live in a world where I think the team made a mistake, but it was also the culture of our society at that moment. It was the tone of canceling things. I don't think history needs to be canceled. I think when B. Mitch returned punts with the old logo on his helmet, we should still celebrate that. But it doesn't mean you go back to it either. So hopefully that's the extent of that discussion, because I'm telling you, it ain't going to happen. So much to talk about. Mayor Bowser, Roger Goodell, Josh Harris, 11 a.m., talking about the Commanders going back to RFK. Woo, what a day. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. FanDuel is the first sportsbook app where you can bet the Kentucky Derby. And right now, all customers get a no-sweat Derby bet. That means you'll get racing bonus back if your bet doesn't win. The app is super easy to use, and you don't have to be a horse racing expert to get in on the Derby Day action. So bet America's number one race with America's number one sportsbook. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian for your chance to get a no-sweat bet for the Kentucky Derby. That's FanDuel.com/Brian. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Opt-in required. Verified FanDuel racing account required. Refund issued as a non-withdrawable racing site credit that expires 9 days after receipt. Max refund is $10 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at racing.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. So news started a leak last night. This morning there was a background session for reporters. Going to be a lot more information coming out shortly. It's interesting. I'll take people a little behind the curtain on how some of this stuff works. When there's major announcements like this, you will get information with what's called an embargo. So you're presented with information, and then you're given a time when you're allowed to start reporting that information.
Mm-hmm.
And this casts a pretty wide net. But inevitably, somebody just breaks the embargo. Now, they'll claim they were unaware of the embargo, or they didn't agree to the terms, or whatever. But, like, the stuff happens.
Because everybody's trying to be first.
Yeah. So, last night, Axios broke the story that there's an announcement scheduled for today with Bowser and Josh Harris about RFK Stadium, then the Post. And then it was kind of like, all right, everybody's going, so everybody went. You know what I mean? It's like, if you ever watch, like, those old videos of, like, one or two people jump a fence, realize there's no police around, then the fence comes down, everybody just starts running through.
Yeah, they just
tear it down. That's what happened. Nobody, like, broke that story. Everyone had it. They were just abiding by the rules that were terms to get the story. But, alas, I'll keep that to myself after I say it publicly on the radio. And then this morning there's some information. And then at 11 a.m., everything goes public. And I think one of the smartest maneuvers for Mayor Bowser and the Commanders is just to put everything out there, man. Like, yeah. Don't try to keep anything hidden or a secret, because it's all going to come out anyway.
Yeah.
And your detractors are going to go after whatever their angle is immediately.
Totally.
So, like, just give it to them, because I think your supporters are going to be so overwhelming in unison with the project as it's constituted. And then kind of the first real step came this morning when the Commanders and Mayor Muriel Bowser, in conjunction, they collaborated on a video that went out on social media. It's a video, but it's still really dope to listen to it, so we were going to play it for you. It's Joe Theismann narrating, I guess, the proposed return to RFK.
Yeah.
I can still hear the crowds. When I first stepped into RFK Stadium, I knew I'd found a home. The roar of the fans, the energy of the city, united as one, was unlike anything I'd ever experienced. RFK Stadium was the stage for the world's greatest in sports, culture, and entertainment. all in the heart of our nation's capital. It's time to revive that legacy. Let's bring the Commanders home. A new stadium will serve as the anchor for the RFK site, unlocking new opportunities for generations to come. This means new housing, new restaurants, retail, and public spaces are all possible. The stadium development will create new access to the Anacostia waterfront while preserving some of our city's treasures. A world-class city deserves a world-class stadium. Uniting a sea of burgundy and gold. Something that unites us in our pride for the district. The time is now. Let's bring Washington back to D.C.
Joe T.
Yep, I like it.
I'll confess something. Left hand up. Brian, I may or may not have called you for this topic, but I was trying to talk to some legends about what RFK Stadium meant to them last week, perhaps for television today. So like I could see into the future, and I called Joe T and he didn't call me back. I feel like I got a much better understanding. Why not? I want to check in. I eventually we're going to go to a heavy phone day because I want people to be able to comment on this. Also, dude, we're not going to ignore the draft. We're not going to ignore the Caps. John Walton's going to join us at 1 o'clock.
Hell yeah.
We're going to get into all the draft stuff. If you want a brief, here's what you need to know about the draft. For all the edge angst crowd, and I know you exist, and you're not wrong to exist, there are a lot of people that are very concerned about the lack of edge players drafted. I think if you go look at the fourth round when they selected Jalen Lane out of Virginia Tech, who I like a lot, and I actually really like that they're just aggressively addressing punt return because it was not a strength last year.
And that kid can return.
Doug, Jalen Lane was the 26th pick of the fourth round. There were three edge players that went 23rd, 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Jack Sawyer, Baron Sorrell, and Kyle Kennard. I know they like Sawyer. They had Kennard in on a 30 visit. There was David Walker was the kid from Central Arkansas that went. They had him in for a 30 visit, I believe. FCS kid. Like, that's four edge targets that went two picks ahead of them.
Yeah.
So I don't think they forgot about the edge situation. They didn't have the draft capital to make significant movements on this draft weekend. They just had to stick where they were. And what it really tells me is how much they love Trey Amos, the second rounder, because Adam Peters said outright, our last chance to really gain capital was moving out of that second round pick, and we didn't do it because we love the player. He's telling the truth. If you can't decipher that to be reality, then we're just living in alternate universe. Does that track with you, B?
Yep.
If you know it's your only time to get a lot, you like, then, and you don't do it, means you love the kid you're getting.
There you go. Totally.
Jeffrey, RFK Stadium, dude. You have said in the past, you straddle the line of RFK and PG. You straddle that line. How are you feeling about the press conference set to happen here in 20 minutes?
Okay, for like the sake of my convenience, I'm like, dang. But like for the sake of like the culture and, you know, getting the team back to what it was. And I'm not saying, you know, just because we move back to RFK, everything is going to change. But it just seems like the team is coming home. Like when I DJ, you know, the different home games, I can now play Welcome to DC, and it makes sense because it's not like we're saying welcome to Landover, Maryland. Like it's just that pride is there. You know, the Washington Commanders, you know, when you hear it on TV, it's going to sound great. Like we're live from Washington, D.C. with the Washington Commanders at RFK Stadium. I'm actually excited for it, JP.
I love to hear that. 11 a.m., folks. Get your popcorn ready. We're going to bring it live right here. Bowser, Goodell, Harris. Who knows what other luminaries? Magic? You think Magic's in town?
Might be.
We'll find out together. You'll hear it live right here on 106.7 The Fan. Here's what I know. There's going to be a whole lot of new housing with the RFK Stadium site. People better call John Leahy, man.
Yep, reach out to John, just like a seller and her husband did. They put their hearts into fully renovating their Hagerstown home. They'd initially rented it out for 3 years, believing they'd eventually be able to move in themselves. However, her husband's business in Frederick made commuting from Hagerstown impractical, so they ultimately decided to sell. Though it was a difficult decision, they knew this was the right choice, as was choosing John Leahy and the Fine Living Group. Thanks to their guidance, the sellers lowered the asking price. That paid off big time, because although the transaction faced some unexpected challenges, John and his team still got it sold for $7,101 over the list price with no inspections. Looking for your own stress-free transaction? How about a guaranteed offer on your home? Check out those details and more at johnsellsdmv.com. That's John without an H. We're talking about our friend John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees, customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
It's things like that, that it was a difficult transaction, but they're still able to get it done and get it over asking. That makes such a huge difference with John Leahy. If you're thinking about selling your house, but you're just not sure it's ready and you know you got to spend a little money, but you're a little light on cash, talk to John. He can help tee up your home for market by getting you up to 50 grand to make repairs and upgrades, which will make your house irresistible to buyers and get you more cash at closing. You settle up with John on the back end, but you make 3-4x on what you put in. Call John today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing.
Be Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We got a lot of information coming to you today. We will be talking about the Caps' victory yesterday. The new game is going to be coming up on Wednesday. Hopefully, we can close it out then. Also, we had a nice draft, I would say, for the Commanders. We're going to discuss all that. But the big story today, the Washington Commanders and the city will be having a press conference coming up in about 13 minutes or so to discuss the deal that they have in place to have a new stadium built right here where RFK was, and the team would be basically coming back home.
Think about this, dude. It's kind of – so I may or may not have recorded something that will run on NBC4 this afternoon about what this means from a football perspective. Mm-hmm. And let's be real. We've heard 2030 thrown around, right? So much will be so significantly different. But let's just say it's 2030, 5 years from now. The way last year went, you'd think there should be some real continuity. But I think you could almost say the only thing you could like count on 5 years from now would be Jaden throwing the first pass at RFK Stadium. You know, like it's kind of crazy to think about, but the NFL is a short term game.
It's short term, but I think the way this thing is set up, Jay, what Magic said to the players in the first press conference, you all just got to play football. Coaches just have to coach. We're going to handle everything else. This is not going to be a situation where Adam Peters and Quinn are going to be worried about what's happening outside of the football field. They get to focus on straight that. And I think if they keep the mindset and they keep the players like they've been getting, that's going to be consistent as well. You know what I mean? And I think it's going to build up to a moment to where things will be so great that you would have the majority happy that it's going to be going back there.
Totally. I think players would be really excited.
Yeah.
I think there'd be real excitement over just a dope new stadium. I think, you know, you take concepts from the Atlanta Stadium and SoFi and all these things. There's two new stadiums getting built right now in Nashville and in Buffalo that I think are kind of, you know, a guide, you know, how something might end up looking. But, like, the players, you know what would impact the players significantly more? Significantly more? Is if they moved the practice facility. Like, that's where, of the players' life, like, of the time spent involved in football, 90% of it's at the practice facility.
There you go. Yeah.
That would have a greater impact. I think this is truly more about fans and the city and the opportunities it brings. I know for me, on a personal level, like, you mentioned, it's like, the people that want to argue, oh, this is just about the football team, like, you're just missing the boat so significantly, man. It, HF Festival, there's just so many things that used to happen at RFK that it's just not the same going to Landover. And we love Governor Moore, and I've enjoyed FedEx Field, Northwest Stadium.
Yeah.
Like, I've had good times. I went to a Rolling Stones concert there once. It was awesome, right? Like, I've done some fun stuff. But it's just not the same, and it's not going to be the same. And the Commanders have been clear that they remain – they're not going to just leave a rotting old stadium in Landover. They've been clear that they're going to support that project. I don't think it's an accident. Right now, B, the practice facility is in Virginia.
Yep.
The team headquarters is now in College Park, Maryland.
Yeah.
And they're hoping to get the stadium back in D.C. They want to represent the entire DMV.
It's the DMV.
And it's a smart way to do it.
Yeah, it is. Because, let's be real, you're dropping money in all three assets in our states, basically, city and the two states. But ultimately, most of the players have always lived in Virginia. And like you just stated.
I'd say all of them.
If they were, no, some guys still lived in Maryland. And tried to do that ride.
Who, Shep?
Shep lived in Virginia when he was playing. But LeVar, I think, was Chris?
Where did LeVar live?
Annapolis.
When he was playing? I know he lived there after he was playing.
But he got that house before he finished playing.
Wow, that's nuts.
Yeah, it's like.
I know Samuel was in Potomac, but I thought that was after.
It's looking at where you're going to live. A lot of these, but like, there were guys trying to get out there. But you know, the ultimate thing, for me and most people, you want to be close to where you work. So you can roll out the bed and still get there on time. I'm not a traffic guy by no stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I think you and I both wish this radio station was a lot closer to our homes. When we come back, this is it, folks. This is not a drill. When we come back, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, Washington Commanders principal owner Josh Harris, talking about the deal, the framework, the agreement to get the Commanders back to the RFK Stadium site. Nobody go anywhere. I mean it this time.